verse 31 going to verse 33. Backtrack it to these two little parables sandwiched in the parable of the weeds. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." And I want to preach this title today, "The Most Important Seed You Will Ever Sow." You may be seated. Thank you again for attending today, for worshiping. Hallelujah. The offering plates are gone, but thank you for that too. And I looked at the accounts last week and I was like, I had a real coughing fit there. But Jesus is my provider. The most important seed you will ever sow. Today I want to talk for a few moments on the most important seed we will ever sow. Now Jesus is teaching us so far about how God sows seeds into the world and into people's hearts. He's been teaching us how the devil challenges God by sowing weed seeds into the world and into people's hearts. But in these four verses, Jesus takes us to a very personal level. For the first three of these verses, Jesus gets into the nitty-gritty of one single seed. What makes a seed so crucial? Why is it so important that Jesus would take the time to mention it? Scholars believe that this mustard seed, to be the Salvadora persica, also known as the toothbrush tree, the mustard bush, and the mustard tree. It's not the mustard herb that the mustard we put on our hot dogs is harvested from, but it's not like a regular tree contrasted with other trees, but Jesus is contrasting a garden shrub with other herbs and garden vegetables. The Salvadora persica can grow up to 10 feet high and have a maximum trunk of about 12 inches in diameter. Its branches are used as a popular tooth cleaning stick throughout the Arabian Peninsula and the wider Islam world. And the leaves can be used in salads as cattle fodder and are known to have medicinal qualities of special interest to kidney and urinary functions. And the seeds can be eaten fresh or dried, and the wood is good for charcoal or firewood. Why does Jesus hone in on this tiny seed, and why is it so important? In these two short parables, Jesus reveals to us another layer of sowing that is going on in the world. There's the sowing that God is doing. There's the sowing that the devil is doing on the macro level. But here, Jesus reveals that at the micro level, there is a seed that we alone have the power to sow. The most important seed we will ever sow is the seed that we sow in our own field. The most important seed we will ever sow in our lives is the seed that we sow in our lives. Hallelujah. What are we sowing? There are many seeds that we can sow and that we do sow. But what about the seed that God gave us? What about that seed which represents and contains within it the kingdom of heaven? Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. There's a word of discernment and prophecy. That there are people in the house today. God has given you a seed to sow into your life. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Friend, you will grow what you sow. And he says, Paul said in Galatians, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Hallelujah. I just want to go and chase some rabbits right now. They are running everywhere in this building. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand here with my shotgun and wait till they come back to roost. And I'm going to blow them to smithereens. And we are going to have a rabbit stew for lunch today. Hallelujah. God gave you a seed to sow, but you're not sowing it like you ought to. It's not going to do you any good to you. Hallelujah. I guess I'm just going to talk to myself. The importance of sowing the seed that God gives us to sow into our own lives cannot be overstated. Why would God give us a seed if he didn't expect us to sow it? Why have a seed? Why expect anything more if we don't do something with what we've already been given? Hallelujah. Moses had been sowing all sorts of crazy, genetically modified, crossbred seeds in his life. He sowed seeds of hatred and murder. He sowed seeds of fear and retribution. He sowed seeds of starting a new life and a new career. But that was not the seed God gave Moses to sow. If you're not careful, the next thing you know, you'll be in a nursing home and you'll never sow the seed that God gave you. The next thing you know, you'll be too old and it'll be too late and you never accomplish what God designed for you to accomplish in your lifetime. But God finally got a line on Moses at the burning bush. And he said, I'm going to give you a very small seed, the smallest of seeds, and I want you to sow it in your life. God couldn't force Moses to sow it. And Moses was thinking of all kinds of arguments and excuses for not sowing his little mustard seed. But when Moses stopped sowing his errant seeds and planted the seed God had designed just for him, something shifted. Amen. Something imperceptible began to germinate and grow in his heart. Hallelujah. I went to college to be a musician. I spent a year learning how to play the piano and sing on tune and in harmony and traveling with choirs and groups and setting up fancy equipment. And doing all those things. But something was wrong. Something was out of place. And I couldn't put my finger on it. But I knew that when I sat in my Bible classes, something stirred me. When I sat in my Bible classes, something moved me. And I couldn't wait to get to my Bible classes. And I couldn't stay awake when I took my music test. In the next year, against all my advisors' advice. But I'll be a Corin Funtry if I'm going to take advice for somebody that's bald-headed and wears a gigantic, fat, ugly wig on their head. Hallelujah. God forgive me for saying that, but it's the truth anyhow. Hallelujah. You got to stop taking advice from the wrong people in your life and listen into the voice of God. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not talking about the voice of Rob. I'm not talking about the voice of Mom and Grandma. I am talking about the voice of God. God devil's trying to get a line on you and give you a tiny little seed to sow. And if you'll accept it and receive it and plant it in your heart, something will shift inside of you. And I came back my second year of college, and I went in there, canceled all my music classes, and I went double major missions in theology. And I kid you not, I have never walked on air in my life until that day. When I accepted my hunger for the Word of God, something shifted inside. And when Moses sowed the seed, "You are going to be my deliverer." His wife Miriam noticed a difference in the way that Moses walked when he came into their camp from his wandering with the animals. His two boys, Gershom and Eliezer, noticed that their father was speaking with a different edge to his voice. There was a new confidence and depth to what he said. Moses had taken on the air of the supernatural. The kingdom of heaven was breaking, was germinating and breaking the surface of his life and persona. Hallelujah. I can't tell you, amen, exactly what God has given you to plant in your life. But if you've been in the church long enough, you ought to know by now what it is. Stop fighting God. Stop making excuses. Stop sowing all kinds of errant and all kinds of genetically altered seeds. And take the pure word of prophecy of God over your life and plant it down in your soil. And watch it grow and become great and mighty and powerful. Matthew couples the mustard seed with a short parable about the power of leaven. They are both extremely small things. They both have exponential growth potential. They both require a personal commitment and a work ethic on our part. How many of you ever tried to make bread by hand before? Hallelujah. Now, leaven in the Bible is usually used in a negative sense. But here, Jesus brings out the pervasive growth of leaven in a positive way. Now, I'm sure that flat, unleavened bread can be tasty. Hallelujah, but there's nothing like a hot loaf of bread.
Amen.
We grew up on fresh Italian bread. Dad would drive by one of the local bakeries after church on Sunday night, and you could smell the hot bread cooking out on the street. Man. And it would be ready for pickup at your corner deli on Monday morning. Stacy says it's too tough and chewy. But that's what happens when you're raised on that soft, fresh bread. Hallelujah. What does this have to do? I'll tell you. Well, some years ago, I had a real craving for Italian bread. And so I decided to try my hand at baking my own. I got me some flour, and I got me some leaven, some yeast. Hallelujah. I got me some water and a rolling pin. And I poured that stuff out there. Well, that didn't go so well. Hallelujah. There's probably a picture somewhere in a Rubbermaid container of me covered in flour. I mean, I worked at Pizza Hut, and we made hundreds of batches of fresh pizza dough. How hard could it be? My Italian bread turned out to be some sickly, pale, grayish version of Play-Doh. We cooked it anyway, but nobody ate it. Somewhere between mixing and beating and rolling and proofing, something went wrong. Thankfully, our local Walmart started carrying Italian bread. Hallelujah. Up until this year, Walmart to the rescue. Praise God. Jesus said it's a small seed. And if you'll sow it, it'll overtake any other herb or vegetable in the garden. And the mustard tree, the toothbrush tree, has its own medicinal benefits in it. It's important for your health. You will eat from the seeds that you sow. Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today?
Amen.
Stop being chicken. Stop making excuses. Stop being afraid of what God wants to do in your life. Sow that seed and let it grow into what God wants it to grow into. And I'm telling you, it'll be bigger than anything you've ever done in your life. It'll overshadow and outshine anything else that you sow in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bigger than your career. Bigger than your bank account. Bigger than your four-wheel drive. Bigger than your house. Bigger than your family.
Yes.
Bigger than anything.
Yes.
That you will ever do.
Amen.
So that's and watch it grow. That's how the kingdom of heaven works.
Amen.
Like a woman who took some leaven and put it into 3 measures of flour and she hid it. She had to beat it. She had to knead it. She had to work it. And of course, Jesus is reflecting on the culture of the day. The men sowed and they growed and the women beat it and cooked it. And that's not to say there was probably a couple guys that could cook some good bread. And there's probably a couple women that had to sew. There's always some oddballs in the crowd. But Jesus is trying to cover the bases. It doesn't matter if you're a man. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. God has a seed for you to work into your life. And what happened to her measures of flour? You could see the leaven that she put in there disappear into her flour. But as she beat it and as she let it sit, the flour began to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how the kingdom of God works. And that's why you've got to sow the seed of the kingdom of God. There is one that is designed just for you. And if you'll sow it in your life, God will make it something amazing. You're sowing sin and junk and garbage. Have you ever seen somebody so full of sin that it overtakes every area of their lives? How they can't talk without cussing and fussing. They can't drive. I hear and listen. I blend into the crowd. I grow a beard during the week. I put a hat on my head. Nobody even knows I'm out there. But I'm out there and I'm watching and listening. And I see people from the soup kitchen roll into the Walmart parking lot. And you can hear them pull it up. They're not listening to rap music. Hallelujah. Hollering and screaming and cussing and fussing. Sin will grow and it will fill every area of your life until it completely overtakes who you are and everything that you touch. But if you'll purge out the old leaven and become a new lump, and you do that by repenting and getting serious with God about the mess you've made of your life. And we do that with the messes we make in our lives. And then cleaning all that junk out and putting the leaven of the kingdom of heaven, that rhymes, the leaven of the kingdom of heaven, down into your soul, it will overtake. Have you ever seen somebody that has such a relationship with God, they cannot talk without talking about God?
Amen.
Don't tell me to come to a family meal or dinner and not talk about God.
Right.
I'm going to talk about God.
Remember.
Don't tell me not to walk into a government building and talk about God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. My kingdom of heaven seed will overtake your government building.
Yeah.
I can tell you for a fact, amen, that the ministers that are part of the Fairfield Area Ministry Alliance, amen, we get together once a month for a meeting, and now we usually get together at 8:30, now at 6 a.m., we are meeting at City Hall with the mayor, and we're getting in there. You know what we're doing, don't you?
Oh,
we just praying, hallelujah. Amen, we're getting with it. Bringing in the glory of God. the kingdom of God. Don't tell me not to push my faith. I'm not pushing anything on you. I am full of God. And wherever I go, it's going to spill out of me. Wherever I go, it's going to be bigger than anything else that is around. Because I have planted that seed down inside of me. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And eventually it will dominate everything else. And eventually, we'll start reaping what we sow. Because he didn't just say, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows his flesh, for from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. But in the next verse, he says this, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Feeling weary? Don't give up. Feeling like giving up? There's nothing worse than to watch somebody give up. Don't give up. Get in the prayer closet, repent. Repent. Recharge your batteries, but don't give up. John 12:24, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Let's stand together today. Hallelujah. Can you believe that? Maybe I start working 2 weeks on my sermons all the time. Probably the shortest sermon I preached this year. I was the shortest sermon I preached in years. Hallelujah. 23 minutes and 15 seconds. Everybody said, hallelujah. And come off and do whatever I need to do. It's time to stop sowing those seeds in your life. I'll be honest with you, when I made the mention of the sermon title and said my first few paragraphs, I at that point I felt like we could stop right there, because whoever needed to hear what I had to say caught it right then. I felt that in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And God keeps giving me to preach this word. I'm going to keep preaching it until you do something about it. I wasn't 5 minutes into my sermon and I could feel in the Holy Ghost that the word that I had given had already touched somebody's mind and their spirit. You knew exactly who I was preaching to. I was preaching at you, and you thought to yourself, hallelujah. And you could feel all those things that have been holding you down. All your failures. All the seeds and the weeds that have been growing in your life. And you're thinking, let me tell you something. Moses made a lot of mistakes, but God still had a seed for him to sow.
Right.
If you'll stop worrying about whether you're worthy, if you'll stop worrying about what you've done wrong, if you'll stop worrying about the water under the bridge and the time that has passed, and you'll just grab that seed and put it down in the soil,
yes,
you can be like Moses. You can have a life-changing moment where you become all that God called you to be. You went from rounding up animals to commanding armies. You went from a burning bush to a mountain that was on fire. That's how the kingdom of God grows. But you've got to start somewhere. To sow the seed that will grow the kingdom of heaven in your life. It's time to stop making excuses and arguing with God about it. It's time to stop worrying about what everyone else is doing and start worrying about what you're not doing. If you ever hear somebody that is blaming everybody for their decisions that they've made? Have you ever heard anybody that's making excuses, this, that, the other, and blaming everything when everybody else is speaking in all kinds of ambiguous modifiers? Everything, everybody, never, nobody. You know what that speaks of? received an article from a friend last year that really was pivotal for me. A powerful truth. It's a sign that you're guilty because you're not doing what God called you to do. And there's no worse person to deal with than somebody that refuses to do what God called them to do. They will blame everybody else for their problems. If you're doing what God called you to do, you don't have time to worry about anybody else's problems. Because you got all the problems you can handle because God's pulling you into deep stuff. But when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, when we're not living the life we should live, and when we've had an inclination to read our Bibles but we decided to watch a movie instead, when we had an inclination that we needed to head down to the church and pray, but instead we went shopping at Walmart for a new candle or whatever, or a new shirt or a pair of socks or shoes, or when we felt led to run the aisles at church, or we felt led to do this, that, or the other, whatever it was we felt led to do, we didn't do it, then we start carrying around a load of guilt. And then we start trying to cover that by blaming things on everybody else. The next time somebody comes around me, people don't usually come around me too much with all that kind of stuff because they know better. But when next time somebody comes around me, I'm just going to be like, what's your problem? You know, because that's what they're doing. They're telling you everybody else's problem. I'm going to say, what's your problem? Because the only reason you're talking like this is because you got a problem you're trying to hide. Next time you get around somebody that's running other people down, you just say, what's your problem? Why are you talking like that?
Amen.
You must feel guilty about something. Why don't you do what the Lord is telling you to do and stop blaming everybody else for your problems? Why don't you sow the most important seed that you will ever sow in your life?
Yeah.
That being the seed that you will sow into your life.
Yeah.
And let it grow. And let it grow. You want the church to be in revival? Sow your seed.
Yes.
You want to have a better relationship with God? Sow your seed. You want your marriage to get better? Sow your seed. You want to have a better relationship with your confounding kids sometimes? Sow your seed. You want to be a better soul winner? Sow your seed. You want to be a better teacher, preacher, singer, cook, whatever. Sow your seed. There are ministries and there are callings. In this church, amongst you all that are here today, that are waiting to be sown. Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord's trying to get your attention today. Amen. And it may be scary and you may get it over your head. May get frustrated in the process. Moses didn't have an easy cakewalk while he was running and doing what he did. Amen?
Amen.
But he sowed that seed anyway against all odds, against all fears, against all past mistakes. And he became an iconic figure that literally the teachings that God gave Moses, the whole entire Bible rests on. Think about that. He went from walking, tippy-toeing through the tulips and the cow patties. He went from goose-stepping around goat dung and became the man that God communicated a divine form of government that even our country today is founded on. All because one guy sowed his seed. Hallelujah. Because one woman took a hold of what God was calling her to do and put it into her leaven and began to mix it in. Even one person can change the whole entire face of a town, a church. One person could wind up winning dozens of people to the Lord. One person could start a ministry that could sweep across the world. One person decides to no longer walk in fear, that decides to no longer measure things according to their carnal mind, but willingly steps into the spiritual realm and sows the seed of the kingdom of heaven. It is the smallest of all of the seeds. But none of the other seeds have the power and the capacity that it does. If you want to pray right now as they sing, it'd be a good time to repent and ask God to sort you out. Why don't we just do that right now? We haven't been to church in a couple of weeks. You all probably need to pray. It's very early, and there's plenty of time to do that. We won't be in a rush. Just all come on out of your pews or kneel in your pew. Find a place right now and just begin to say, God, I'm done blaming everybody else for my problems.